There's just an overwhelming amount of topics to cover. There's this COVID bill in Congress that seems to be making some headway and finally coming together. That has been framed either as COVID relief or economic stimulus. And I guess I would encourage listeners to consider that kind of rhetoric that figures are using and how those frames reflect political values. I think it's also interesting the political calculus that has resulted in splitting the bill into two parts. There's going to be, I think, a bigger one that represents broad agreement and then smaller one that's more like charge that has the more controversial component on both sides. Then there's also the Georgia runoffs, which have been getting a lot of coverage since November. Both of those two Senate seats in Georgia have the side control of the Senate. I guess if I had to forecast, I guess I still sort of expect that both Republicans will win those seats just because of track record and success of Republican senators from Georgia in the past. But I think that they will be both very close. But the thing that I've been thinking about the most the last week is COVID itself and the COVID vaccine. The French economist Thomas Piketty, I believe pretty strongly that inequality is the preeminent issue for us and for our time, and not just inequality between what people have, but inequality in the opportunities and the resources and the options and conditions that are available. And like with resources, all of these factors tend to differ along lines of race and economic class that people are born into. And COVID, including its response, including its treatments and the administration of the new vaccines, is, I think, just another manifestation of those inequalities. And this is not specific to political parties. As with a really high degree of hypocrisy amongst public officials, there's the Hall of Fame of COVID hypocrisy. The governor of California, the mayor of Austin, Texas, our own governor here in Alaska, as well as others in Alaska state office, you know, being photographed at public gatherings without masks, without following other COVID guidelines. That stuff is not lost on people. And for those individuals in power, they're not really experiencing the same level of risk as people who are in the margins, because the antibody treatments for COVID are highly effective, even for high-risk patients. But those treatments are in extremely short supply. The president gets COVID and he's back on camera within a few days. Christie Giuliani, there's these officials that can have these antibody treatments that are not available to everyone. And so I think it's maybe no surprise that they don't treat the disease with the same level of caution and the same level of risk as regular people. But with the vaccine, it seems like there are some pretty alarming loopholes with the plans for rollout and administration. And I guess it's appropriate to give credit here to Judd Legum and his investigative newsletter, Popular Information. So the first phase, they're calling these like 1A, 1B, and 1C. And I think that these are sort of like the phases that define this period where there's more demand than there is supply. And so rationing the vaccine and being strategic about who gets it first. Phase 1A is actually pretty straightforward. So that's when the vaccine is going. That's what we're actually experiencing the start of right now. The vaccine goes straight to the hospitals, healthcare workers, and long-term care residents. And I actually don't think that there's a lot of room for interpretation there. Phase 1B is where I think the wealthy and the well-connected can begin to pull some strings. This is when the vaccine is rolled out to quote unquote essential workers. Some in that category are not controversial, okay? Like teachers, firefighters, grocery workers. I think most everyone would agree that those people should be near the front of the line. But for example, the finance industry has been lobbying hard to secure essential status for many of its workers. And I think that they've had success in states like California.
And we're not talking about bank tellers here.
The bank tellers would be included, but they're also talking about other people just that work in that industry. I think that there's a lot of room actually for interpretation about how essential some of those people are in terms of their interaction with the public. The funnest part of this story has to deal with professional wrestling. You know, back in the summer, I think there was sort of famously in Florida, the WWE professional wrestling organization, which is owned by Vince and Linda McMahon, who are big GOP and Trump donors. Like they were successful at lobbying Florida to designate professional wrestling as essential. I think it remains to be seen if that designation will carry over to this phase of vaccine distribution, but it would be pretty interesting if WWE and other professional athletes were at the front of the line when it comes to essential worker vaccine distribution. And then we move on to the third phase, C, phase 1C, which I think is even riper for abuse. I mean, this is when it starts to go out to people who are quote unquote high risk. And I consider that a pretty fluid category. And it seems based almost entirely on doctor's notes. These concierge medical practices, people who have a lot of money can pay $100,000, $200,000, $250,000 for these concierge medical practices. And I think in most states, maybe even nationally, that having your asthma upgraded from mild to moderate is actually enough to be added into that high risk category. And again, this goes back to like individual doctors and recommendations and categorizing of patients. And again, like going back to finance and investment firms, a lot of those big institutions, they employ their own doctors. And so I think whether or not you believe a doctor will give these preferential like treatments to their own patients, I think that there is a little bit of a conflict of interest here. So at some point, maybe in 6 months, maybe a year from now, there will be enough vaccines for everyone. And it will be a priority to convince people who are reluctant to agree to be vaccinated. I heard Governor Dunleavy talking about that on the radio this morning. But right now, demand for the vaccine far exceeds the supply. And so who has access to it is extremely important, as is vigilance on the part of the public. And so we can have oversight and accountability.
Nate Bauer directs the University of Alaska Press. I'm Robert Hannon.